Well, hey there. This is Cody Turner, back at it on the mic. Listen, the intensity of summer is quickly approaching, which means that the thunderstorm season is approaching, which in turn means that there's more of a pressing need than ever to find some shelter from the storm, because you have to stay dry, folks. But luckily, I have a solution. You can listen to this podcast, Tent Talks, where not only will you stay dry, but I promise you that there's no possibility of getting hit by lightning, because I know that that scares you. In this episode of the podcast, I introduce a new series that I'm going to be having on the podcast called Intellectual Downpour. The Intellectual Downpour episodes are going to be a bit different from the main episodes. I'm not going to be hosting a guest on these episodes. Rather, it's just going to be me ranting about a particular topic that I'm passionate about. These episodes are going to be less frequent than the main ones. And in this first Intellectual Downpour episode, I talk about how to find the balance between perfectionism and efficiency, how to overcome fear, and I have a long discussion about the concept of authenticity as well. And notably, this first episode is going to be shorter than a lot of the future Intellectual Downpour episodes to come. I think usually the Intellectual Downpour episodes are probably going to be anywhere between 45 minutes to an hour and a half long. So, without further preamble, Intellectual Downpour number one.
Welcome to Tent Talks on the Shelter from the Storm podcast network, a place to talk the rain away with your host, Cody Turner.
Storm coming, Mr. Wayne.
First, I'd like to talk about finding the balance between perfectionism and efficiency. All of my life, I've been a hyper-perfectionist. The problem with being a hyper-perfectionist is that it inhibits action. Nothing is ever good enough when you're overly meticulous in this way. And because nothing is ever good enough, you feel as if there is no point in doing anything. Because anything that you do is inevitably not going to measure up to this unrealistic bar you have set for yourself. I constantly struggle with this. This was a problem I had with respect to starting this podcast. I've had plans to start a podcast for about over half a year now. And it took me a while to manifest this plan because I felt like any content that I produced was not representative of what I was capable of. And so, this led me to do nothing. At some point, I just got tired of saying I was going to do this and yet not do it. At some point, I realized that life is a verb, and you have to act. And it's not always going to be perfect. And that's okay, because the best way to approximate that perfection is to continue to produce content, put yourself out there, and be efficient. But of course, you do not want to be so efficient to the point that the quality of your content begins to suffer, right? You want to still retain a high standard. You don't want to sacrifice quality for the sake of quantity. This is an important point, especially if you have a refined artistic vision that you are eager to actualize. Work diligently to manifest your vision, but don't cheat the creative process. A lot of the groundwork is going to be meticulous and mind-numbing, regardless of what you are working on. So learn to become absolutely obsessed with the little details, because they matter. Now, another factor that comes into play here is fear. I was afraid to put myself out there because I did not want to be judged in a negative manner by others. I'm assuming that I'm not alone and struggling with this problem. There are two antidotes to fear that I'd like to touch upon here. The first is just to realize that no one really cares about what you are doing. Everybody is just concerned about what they're up to. Even if you accomplish some crazy goal, right? Some person might notice it on Facebook and consciously register it for a few seconds, but then they will return to their own personal problems and priorities. To think that a ton of people are going to be sitting around, paying attention to what you are doing, severely judging your content, is actually egotistical, because it assumes that people give a shit about you. Paradoxically, the realization that everybody is fundamentally self-interested can be one of the best antidotes to fear that there is. The other antidote that I'd like to touch upon is the process of becoming aware of your own mortality. Whenever I'm afraid of doing something, I just picture myself on my deathbed and think about the regret that my future self would feel if I let fear consume my present self. Or I just think about the fact that in 300 years, every single person alive right now will be dead. I mean, just let that sink in for a second. every single human being around in this moment will no longer be here. In the words of Louis C.K., we're just dead people that haven't died yet. I mean, this is our fate. We experience a small blip of consciousness and then will, in all likelihood, return to nothingness. This is the fact of our own mortality. Yes, it's depressing. It's perhaps nihilistic. It's certainly not the cosmic nightlight that is organized religion. But it's one of the most liberating things one can realize. Because once you realize that life is short and that nothing really matters, at least in a cosmic sense, well, then there is no reason to fear anything. The fleeting nature of life renders every moment precious. So, I try to keep this awareness of my own mortality at the forefront of my consciousness, and I've found it to be very useful. And I hope you do too. One thing I'm trying to do on this podcast, and in life more generally, is be authentic. I am not deliberately projecting a particular persona here. Now, the thing with authenticity is that it's really not a matter of trying. The moment you try to be authentic is the moment you fail at doing so. A similar point can be made with respect to mindfulness meditation, I think. Being mindful largely involves having no agenda and just becoming aware of whatever your current conscious experience is like. One way to fail at being mindful is to explicitly try to have no agenda. This is a failure because by trying to have no agenda, what you are really doing is formulating the agenda to have no agenda, which is, of course, itself an agenda. I know, that's a lot of agendas, but you see the point. And the same point applies to being authentic. Again, the moment you try is the moment you fail. The question then is, how do you learn how to not try so much? How do you get out of your own head or out of your own way? How do you learn how to just simply be yourself? The short answer, I believe, is to not overthink things and just live in the present and be mindful. I know, easier said than done. Here's a concrete example of me failing to be mindful. I'm having a conversation with a friend, right? And as I'm talking to my friend, I'm thinking about how they are interpreting what I am saying as I am saying it. It's almost as if my true self is no longer at the forefront of my consciousness during the conversation, but is now abstracted away, occupying some third-person point of view, right? Observing the conversation from above, if you will. I've found that this kind of self-abstraction almost inevitably induces social anxiety. Instead of simply attending to your interlocutor, you're now overtly concerned with how your interlocutor is perceiving you. And this introduces all kinds of tension and awkwardness into the conversation. And it prevents your interlocutor from getting a glimpse of your true self. Because again, your true self is no longer at the forefront of your consciousness. To some then, authenticity is directly tied to mindfulness. To be authentic is to be present. I've taken up meditation to help me become more present. I'm not sure how much success I've had at this stage. Apart from meditation, though, there are several truths that I keep etched on the walls of my psyche that I constantly refer back to help me remain mindful and authentic. First, and this certainly isn't a novel insight, people are going to judge you no matter what you do, so you might as well be uninhibited and free. Second, the story that you have told yourself about who you are, the self-narrative that you have constructed, right, is not necessarily true. I'd like to briefly appeal to the existentialist philosopher Jean-Paul Sartre to flesh out this idea. Sartre thought that human beings are radically free, which is essentially to say he thought that we can be anything that we want to be, and that we always have a choice in deciding what act to pursue. This notion of radical freedom is connected with the basic existentialist motto, existence before essence. To say that existence precedes essence is to say that we do not exist for a purpose. Some entities clearly do exist for a purpose, right? A knife, for example, exists for the purpose of performing a particular function, namely cutting. Human beings, Sartre argues, are not like knives. He thinks that we simply exist and must create our purpose and meaning for ourselves. This truth is liberating because it bestows us with the freedom to control our own destiny. But it is also daunting. We don't know what to do with our radical freedom. We are overwhelmed by the sheer number of possibilities that are open to us, by the myriad of ways our lives could end up going. Simply put, our radical freedom induces within us a sense of existential angst. Sartre thinks that to alleviate this natural existential angst that we all feel, what people do is conceptually box themselves in, you might say. That is, they apply concepts to themselves so as to restrict the range of possibilities that are open to them, so as to make themselves less free. For example, a young lad, who shall remain nameless, decides to go to graduate school in philosophy. As he becomes more immersed within the culture of academia, he begins to see himself more and more as a philosopher. Eventually, the concept philosopher becomes an integral part of his perceived identity. Now, when making decisions, instead of asking himself, "What would I do in this situation?" he instead asks, "What would a philosopher do?" The answer to the latter question is, of course, narrower in scope than the answer to the former. And the young lad feels this comforting. He finds it comforting, rather. Generally speaking, we all find it comforting to conceptually box ourselves in, because again, doing so functions to alleviate this natural sense of existential angst that Sartre claims we possess. One problem with actively conceptualizing yourself in this way, however, is that it can prevent you from being authentic. Instead of living in the moment and letting your true self naturally rise to the surface, you choose instead to act in accordance with this concept that you've applied to yourself, and that prevents you from being authentic. Just know that at any moment, you can drop all of these self-labels which you have used to define who you are. One final philosophical truth that I keep etched on the walls of my psyche to help me remain mindful and authentic is this. You can never truly escape yourself. You can certainly try by looking over your own shoulder, so to speak, which is to say, by engaging in the kind of self-abstraction I touched upon earlier. Remember, the kind of self-abstraction that leads to social anxiety? But no matter how many levels of self-abstraction you engage in, it's always going to come to an end somewhere. It's always going to bottom out. So, take second-order awareness, for example. That is, the stance of becoming aware of your own awareness. Your second-order awareness essentially functions to observe your first-order awareness, right? But now ask yourself, who or what is observing the second-order awareness? Sure, you can adopt a third-order awareness to answer this question, but then the same question applies to that level of awareness as well. I do not think that there is such thing as an infinite regress of self-awareness, meaning that at some point you are just going to be unable to observe yourself or look over your own shoulder. The overarching point here, to reiterate, is that you can never truly escape yourself. At some level, your true authentic self is always there. Sometimes it just happens to be abstracted away from the present moment. Recognizing this truth facilitates the following thought. Given that you can never truly escape yourself, why not just be present? Why not skip the mental abstraction and just push your true self to the forefront of consciousness? Okay, so those are some thoughts on authenticity. I'd like to now close by very briefly touching upon the question of why you should value yourself, regardless of who you are. This is obviously a crazy broad question that has many answers. I'd like to just offer two. First, every person really is, in a quasi-literal sense, his or her own universe. I mean, think about it. Every experience you've ever had has been filtered through the screen of your consciousness. Everything you know about the world has been acquired through the medium of your mind. Your mind houses the universe. It contains it. And so, you are more immense than you might imagine. Everybody is. And you are more unique than you might imagine as well. Regardless of who you are, regardless of how miserable or dull you perceive your life to be, no human being in history has had the life trajectory or the precise set of experiences that you have had. And that necessarily renders you unique. You cannot help but be original. Nobody can. Well, that's me trying to not try to be authentic. Thanks for listening, and stay tuned for the next episode.